Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guests, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or any of his guests this evening, you can press star 3, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad if you have a question for Senator Haywood and his guests. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, you, and thank you to all of my neighbors who are participating on tonight's call. I'm Senator Art Haywood, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we will be discussing the coronavirus with my very special guests, Congressman Dwight Evans and Dr. Scott Goldstein, an emergency physician with Einstein Healthcare Network. We will answer any questions that you have. This format will allow you to listen in and even ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone. Let me first introduce Congressman Dwight Evans.
Thank you very much, Senator, for that introduction. And I congratulate you for having this telephone town hall meeting, because this is very appropriate on such a critical issue that we have. So I look forward to answering any questions.
Thank you. And let me next introduce guest Dr. Scott Goldstein, as I said, an emergency physician with Einstein Healthcare Network.
Thank you, Senator, for having me and allowing me this time to interact and answer questions and hopefully alleviate some people's tensions. Right now, we're like at a lull before the storm, and hopefully we could keep everyone's anxiety at a very low level. I currently work at Einstein in the emergency department, and I'm director of EMS and disaster medicine.
Thank you, doctor. And again, for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest this evening, you can press star 3. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we can go to, we received a number of submitted questions, and we can kick it off using that if you'd like while the individuals are joining us online.
Sure.
Okay. Here's the first question comes from Jennifer, and Jennifer's question is, do we have the resources we need to fight COVID-19 in Pennsylvania? What do we need more of?
So I can address that in part only from the state Senate perspective. Yesterday we approved $50 million to support hospitals to purchase equipment and supplies. And we know that's not enough, but it is a start. So that's one piece of what the state has done. But Dr. Goldstein, you may have a share with us how you see what the status is of preparations.
So right now, all across the state, and especially in the Philadelphia area, people are working around the clock to prepare. I know for me, I'm on daily, sometimes multi-times a day, phone calls preparing for this event that is inevitably going to happen. Right now, we are prepared and we're preparing to obtain everything we need for hopefully keeping this at a lower level than reaching a nadir that's too high that we could handle. So right now, we are prepared. We just don't know what to expect. We can only guess on it based on models from other countries.
And I like to piggyback. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello? I like the piggyback on what the senator just said. In the initiative that passed the Senate yesterday and will pass the House tomorrow, we put in, and forgive me for throwing a lot of numbers on people here, we put in about $130 billion, that's for the entire nation, targeted to hospitals. So on top of what the state is doing, the federal government is also, and hospitals are important. The second thing is, in addition to this particular bill that passed and two other bills, we put money in there for free testing. We felt testing was extremely important. So between testing and the hospitals, as the doctors said, And as the senator said, those are the dollars that we have started at this particular point.
Well, Jennifer, thank you very much for submitting your question. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, you can press star 3, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to turn to the callers now. We're going to go to Barbara. Barbara, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guest.
Hello.
Yes, Barbara, Hello. Go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes. I wanted to know if I feel that I have coming down with the virus, what do I do? I don't think I'm supposed to go to the doctor because I would expose the other patients with the disease. So what would I do? Who would I call?
Good question.
Would you like me to handle this one? Yes.
Yes.
So there's a couple options you do have. The first phone call could always be to your family physician and call them and tell them your concerns. They might ask you to come to their office and maybe put a mask on you before you go into their office, waylaying anyone else's fears. If that is not an option for you, you could call the county. The county has hotlines to call for people that have concerns. And if you're in Philadelphia, there's a phone number, and you could even text to get information on where to go. If you start feeling symptoms and you feel that they're not normal and you feel sick, you could obviously go to emergency department.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Barbara, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood and his special guest this evening, you press star 3, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're gonna go down to a online submitted question. This one is from Bob, and the question is, this is actually for the doctor, how safe is it for seniors to go food shopping?
Well, you know, like anything, it's safe if you take your precautions. So if you maintain your social distancing, which is a word we all hear nowadays, it is completely safe. You don't need to wear a mask unless you are the one sick. Just make sure you're aware of your surroundings, but you need to get out and get your necessities. If it's possible, try to get delivery or have someone younger get the groceries for you if you have your concerns.
Thank you very much for submitting that question. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or any one of his guests, you can press star 3. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Tiffany. Tiffany, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Hi, Senator Haywood. My question is actually for the doctor, Dr. Einstein. Is it Einstein?
That's my work, yeah.
Goldstein.
Yep, Dr. Goldstein. I work at Einstein.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I got it mixed up. I'm sorry, Dr. Goldstein. I have a medical question. So if you're somebody that tested positive for the virus, how long does it take for it to go through your system before you test negative for it?
So the answer is I don't know, and I don't think a lot of people know as of yet. Some people can test negative and then turn positive. There's a variety that we don't have the information yet until when you'll test negative. Usually symptoms go away and you're feeling better. That's usually a sign to mean that you're okay. You could always try to get a second test, but it doesn't mean it'll be negative yet based on the unsureness we have with the current testing and with the actual understanding of the disease.
So how long, how do you know, how long are you able to spread it, I guess, then?
So you can spread it before you catching it. Sure. So chances are you would be spreading it before you even showed symptoms, most likely for a couple of days. If you want to look at it like a flu or a cold, that's how you spread it. You spread it before and you spread it during. Most likely you won't be spreading it afterwards.
When do you determine, I guess that's my main, how do you determine when it's quote unquote afterwards?
So as long as you're fever free and you have no symptoms.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tiffany, thank you very much for your call and your question. Just as a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest this evening, you press star 3. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Bessie. Bessie, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Okay, good afternoon, all. My question is, if you wanted to wear a mask and gloves, where would you go and get that equipment for the average senior to get it?
Would you like me to handle this one?
I hope so.
So if you have no reason to need mask or gloves, they're recommended to be saved for the healthcare professionals. That being said, if you have the need and concerns for them, usually it's through a medical store that has them, or your local CVS or Walgreens may have them, but chances are they'd be sold out. So they're difficult to obtain currently.
Bessie, thank you very much.
Question.
Go ahead, Senator.
This is Art. So there are a range of different masks that I've seen in the neighborhoods and at grocery stores. Which mask have a chance of being effective?
So probably none of the ones that you're seeing will prevent it if it's what's called aerosolized, but most of what the masks are there for is to prevent what's called droplets. You don't want people's saliva to get on you. So any mask will protect saliva from getting on you, but if you maintain your social distancing of 6 feet, that's a non-issue.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. Senator, we're going to go back to the submitted questions again. And I'm going to bring Congressman Evans into the because I know there's a big vote tomorrow in Congress, and there's some money there for to deal with hospitals. And the question from Nina is, how can you best support healthcare workers and hospitals? Do the workers on the front lines truly need masks and personal protection?
The answer is yes. First thing, we need to thank those on the front line for all that they do for all of us, no matter who we are, from doctors to nurses to anybody who works. I consider them first responders, so we need to thank for what they do. Secondly, what we try to do is we've passed 3 bills so far. This will be the third one come tomorrow. And we have focused a great deal on, in terms of health care, around testing, around making sure equipment. I know that's been an issue you've heard a lot about. And obviously, we should do much more. I don't think we've been as prepared as what we should be. But the question is, we are investing taxpayers' dollars for the purpose of making sure we have the equipment. I know you hear a lot about ventilators and things of that nature. The doctor could speak about that. I was just talking to someone from Jefferson today who got, like, I don't know if it was 1,000. Don't hold me to the number. But they got them, and they leasing them around or moving around. So there's no question. The fact that we'll have the equipment we should have, and the fact that testing has kind of moved behind. But the fact is, the doctor can speak to a lot of that in terms of where we are, and it's part of what the senator said about the state putting up money. So, Doctor, mm-hmm. You have any thoughts about the equipment aspect?
So, I think any hospital, regardless of how small or large, is not going to have enough when the vast majority of patients do decide to come for care. At any time during the regular year, we have plenty of equipment and there's no issues. That's when we start to talk about the need for contingency plans and surge plans because of this lack of equipment. And there are options throughout the state and locally of sharing or renting some of these equipments. And the federal government is providing some of it also.
Nina, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Patricia. Patricia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Yes. Good day, everyone. My concern is you're hearing about testing. And I don't see nowhere in Philadelphia they're doing that. And I would like to know how they're going to do it, especially where the seniors are concerned.
So the question is about where is testing, and I should let you know that there are several testing sites not too far away. Now, right now, the testing is being concentrated on healthcare workers, those who are on the front lines as well as first responders. So those are the folks who are getting tested first, and a lot of that testing has begun on a big level in the last few days. I think it is right that those people on the front lines should be tested first. But in Philadelphia, at the Rite Aid at Ogonce and Washington Lane, there's testing going on there every weekday. Now, it is for first responders and healthcare workers as the first level. At the sports complex, the stadium down in South Philly, they're also doing testing, also primarily for the first responders. But the lines are long. A friend of mine who's a dentist said he was in the line for 8 hours, got to the front of the line, and the time was up, and he had to come back the next day. So we do want to make sure we take care of the medical folks. I think once that's done, the testing sites will be able to get to the broader population. However, doctor, do you think everybody really needs to be tested? I mean, if you don't have the symptoms, I'm not sure everybody needs to be tested.
That's a great point, Senator. I feel that if you have no symptoms or mild symptoms, and no chest pain, trouble breathing, diarrhea, and you self-isolate, the testing will not alter the outcome of your process. So there doesn't necessarily need to be a test if you're having minimal to no symptoms.
Patricia, thank you very much. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Doctor. We're going to go back to the callers. But before we do, I'm going to do two things. First, I want to, if you have a question for Senator Haywood and his guest this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. And now I'd like to introduce our live poll question. Poll question this evening are you willing to share your stay-at-home activities with Senator Haywood's office on social media? If you are, you can press 1 on your keypad. If you are not, you can press 2. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest this evening, you can press *3. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Christina. Christina, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guest.
Good evening. My question is this virus airborne? And if it is, shouldn't we be wearing masks? Or those strictly for people who feel that they are contagious?
So as of now, the virus itself is not considered airborne. It's considered droplets, which is almost a little nuance. But it's airborne is something that it will just come out of the air. Where droplet is, you need to be close enough to get a droplet from that person onto you. So that's, once again, while the social distancing is so big, and especially the minimum 6 feet, is that makes it very unlikely a droplet will get onto you. It is not airborne. And people that are wearing masks should be wearing masks if they themselves are ill or have an underlying medical condition where they cannot be exposed to any illnesses.
Christina, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we'll go back to the callers. We're going to go to Sunny. Sunny, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guest.
Hi. I'm confused about the ventilators. For instance, there was a caller from the federal government this afternoon stating that, I'm talking about New York State, stating that New York had ventilators in different parts of the state, and if necessary, they could move them around. However, New York City is sharing ventilators. Two people are using ventilators. So I'm wondering about Pennsylvania. We're getting mixed messages. Are there ventilators available in Pennsylvania, and would they have to be moved around if we need them in the Philadelphia area?
Senator,
sure. Well, let me just say this. At the outset, there was an indication from all on this call that where we are now, we have enough ventilators. Now, where we will be in week 3 or week 4 very challenging to predict. Dr. Goldstein may want to predict it. The other thing is this. We have some time to acquire more ventilators. I saw today that Governor Wolf has opened up a portal. He's opened up a demand to buy ventilators. The state wants to buy ventilators. The state wants to buy masks. The state wants to buy gowns. And today the governor announced it to the world that we want to buy this equipment. So when we get to a stage where we got a big surge in Pennsylvania, there is a possibility that we would have been able to acquire and purchase what we need this week, next week, and the weeks prior to the surge. So whether we will be where New York is entirely possible. I don't know that we can predict that today, but I do know that efforts are being made to purchase. And Congressman Evans was clear that billions of dollars have been set aside in the state, in the national government program to buy this equipment. So the 2 or 3 weeks that we've got before we may get to where the people are in New York City, that might buy us enough time to do the purchasing so we don't end up where New York City is. And I know we're working toward that end. Yes.
And I think the piggyback on what the senator just said is we passed three bills. And the first priority was around testing, getting the necessary equipment. That was in the first. That's the acceleration of those dollars. The second aspect is what the doctor said about social distancing. You know, schools have been shut down for, I think, a couple of weeks so far. Decisions have been made about non-essential businesses. So there are decisions being made. That combination of decisions is hoping to lessen or flatten out the rise. The fact of the matter is it's still rising up to the peak. But we're trying to do, you know, through the governor, through county officials, through mayors and all, through their very public officials, they're trying to take the action. So it's a combination of things taking place. It's things that happen in Washington or Harrisburg and local governments that I believe we will beat this challenge. The question of us working together.
Sunny, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we'll go back to the callers. We're going to go to Kevin. Kevin, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, good evening to all. Senator Edwards, Haywood, I'm sorry. I'm calling regarding mixed messages that's been received regarding the stimulus package and seniors that receive Social Security or SSD. Were they included in that package, and can they expect to receive any funds once the funds are released to the public?
I think that would be more for Congressman Evans.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I would ask, Senator, is that you get that gentleman's name and number. We are still going through language. In Social Security, we believe it's the best entity to address our seniors. You know, Social Security is an earned benefit. We understand people have earned that benefit. So the senator gets your information. Either I or him or office will get back and answer that question for you.
Thank you kindly.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Kevin, thank you very much for your question. Senator, will be able to we'll gather Kevin's information. We'll be able to get that to the congressman as well.
Great.
We're going to go back to our callers. We're going to go to Geneva. Geneva, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood. Geneva, go ahead. Are you live with Senator Haywood?
Oh, well, thank you. My question was regarding paying our taxes because so many things are closed. And I was wondering, have they extended the time where we're supposed to go beyond the April the 15th? And also, with the monies that they were saying, I just heard them say something about those who are on Social Security. What about those who retired employees? Some of their jobs have been retired for a while. Would they also be in the number for getting financial help?
If I should jump in on that one, There's a certain amount of, checks are going to be sent on people. What they're going based on the 2018 tax filing. They're going on the 2018. And the 2018 will be a determining factor if you receive that grant. That grant is for $1,200, what that is. So that's depending on your tax filing, and it will come directly to you. So a retirement person, depending on what your income, and if you got a tax filing, the answer would be yes.
Geneva, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. Let's go to Emily. Emily, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Guest.
Okay. Hi. Thank you for doing this, Senator Haywood. I have been in seclusion with my husband for 2 weeks in Elkins Park. I have a son and daughter and two grandkids who are up in North Jersey, and they have been in seclusion pretty much for 2 weeks. Is it okay for us to get together? My kids are very worried about because they were working in New York before this, but they have shown no symptoms over the last 2 weeks. Can we get together, or is it still a worry to do that?
So I would honestly just err on the side of caution. 2 weeks is what we're saying. Most likely that's how long it'll take. If it's 3 weeks and something happens, that's not really in the best interest of everyone. It is very hard to stay away from family, but with the technology and FaceTime, it does make it a touch easier. And I would stay away for a good 3 to 4 weeks even, just to make sure that nothing gets transmitted.
Okay, thank you so much. You're siding with our kids, okay. Thanks a lot.
So, Emily, I'm glad that you called in. I'm glad that your kids won that one. We definitely want to see you around for a long time. I did want to share also on the prior question on the tax deadline, Pennsylvania did move our tax deadline to July 15. We're now at July 15. I think the feds are the same, so the April 15 pressure is off. You got to July the 15th.
Mm-hmm. And all right, while you said that, I want to add to what I said to that person before. The Internal Revenue will work to deliver rebates quickly in the form of advance payments for people who file a federal income tax in 2018 or 2019. Payment process will be based on payment address information on the file. So I wanted to make sure that to that last question, the person is all right. And the amount of rebate depends on the family size. The payment is $1,200 for each adult and $2,400 for joint filers and $500 for pre-qualifying children under the age of 17. So $1,200 for each adult, individual, $24 for joint of filers, and $500 for qualified children under 17.
Great.
Emily, thank you very much for your question. Senator, let's go to Fawn. Fawn, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, good evening. I appreciate you taking the time to actually listen to our questions, just to let you know. I had an issue today because the mill grab and go for district zip codes 19150, 19, and 18, there's nothing up here. And I want to know why wasn't it one in any of those zip codes, which is closer to me. So I had to go to King High School, which is in 19138. So I'm not working right now. I've been in the house, but I needed to go because they changed it to Mondays and Thursdays. Why wasn't it a grab and go for the mill sites for the children up anywhere in those zip codes? Because I caught an Uber there, I had to catch an Uber back. And it wasn't conclusive.
Right. Thank you for that question, Dawn. The city had at one time a distribution site at Dorothy Emanuel Rec Center.
Right.
I spoke with the Rec Center director for that region. and the rec centers were having a number of challenges with distribution of meals, including short staff. And so the rec center site was closed, and the city came up with these other sites, which is MLK and in the district. And I think it was primarily because of staffing challenges when they tried to do it at the various rec centers, and the ability to consolidate the resources at the high school. So it is challenging to be in that location, but the rec centers did not work out.
Swan, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. Let's go to Adele. Adele, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
I Googled medications against the virus, and I came up with Arbidol, I think it is, or Arbidol, and Remdesivir. And I was wondering why they're used in Russia and why those medications aren't used in America against the virus.
So those medications, I will assume, are the antivirals you're talking about. And there's been no studies and there's been no proof yet that any medication actually works against this virus. So that is probably why.
Adele, thank you very much for your question. Senator, let's go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for holding this town hall, Senator Haywood. I just want to have a couple of questions. How long will this we be in the crisis mode for this pandemic in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area? Understand that China has been going through it for 3 to 4 months before they peaked out. And the second question would be, any predictions on how this area will be impacted by the economic fallout from this pandemic?
Dr. Goldstein, I can answer the first part, obviously. So, we're modeling the best we can based on the other countries, and we're modeling similar to the other countries. We are been aware of it. It feels like a lot longer because we've been aware of it for so long in these other countries, and we're always only after the last few weeks we've started to notice it in our country. So it might run a course for 3, 4, 5 months. There's no way to know, but based on what we are monitoring, it does mimic the other countries.
Thank you.
Also, on the economics, we'll vote this bill tomorrow. There'll be $377 billion infused for small businesses. That's something you could either be check on the website. Secondly, relating to workers in unemployment insurance, there will be extended to 4 months rather than 3 months, and there'll be a $600 bonus added on top of we have unemployment insurance. So there's unemployment insurance extended. There's the direct rebate going to people, and there's investment in small business. So what we're attempting to do is work closely with the state in terms of what you heard the senator say about the $50 million they put up about equipment, work with the hospitals, work with transportation, try to stabilize. This bill we just passed is only, in my view, a stopgap measure. We ultimately will have to do something around a stimulus.
Jeremiah, thank you very much for your question. Senator, let's go back. We're going to go to Nicole. Nicole, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Good evening. Hi, Senator Haywood, Congressman Evans, and Dr. Goldstein. I live in Chestnut Hill, and my son goes to public school in the neighborhood. And this is my first question. I have three, so hopefully you can bear with me. I wanted to know the probability of students being able to resume the school year this year. I know there's talks about doing it online, but I don't know if that's feasible, as well as thinking ahead, like, is it realistic that they would be able to start the school year in September per normal, like, you know, in school? Or are we approaching a new way of learning? My concerns within the school are cleanliness and just general access to hand sanitizers and social distancing, obviously. I don't know that the schools are really equipped. I know my son's school is not equipped to follow those protocols. So that's the first question. Should I just go one by one?
Yes, keep going. Thank you. What's the second?
Oh,
thank you.
The second question is related to testing. So I have some family members who are young adults, and they are working at essential businesses. And I know the priority is testing healthcare workers first and foremost, but some of the young family members of mine are having difficulty getting tested, even though they've been exposed to the virus. So I'm wondering what the plan is to test people who are working at essential businesses who are in need of testing. And then the third question is just related to the grants that are available, the $500 for children who are eligible. I just wanted to know what those parameters are for those children. That's it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, Ms. Nicole. So I don't want to speak for Dr. Height and the School District of Philadelphia. He has made some announcements about trying to prepare for teaching children when they're not in school. It's a big challenge across the state, which is how we can, how the public schools can continue education while the children are at home. I did see an announcement that the school district was going to purchase several thousand Chromebooks for distribution to young people. So I do know that every effort appears to be attempted to be made so that young people can learn while at home. But when school will restart, I don't feel I'm not in a position to say that. I can tell you, though, that today we sent out an e-newsletter with a number of resources for learning online at home. Khan Academy was one and several others. On the testing of people who work in essential businesses, I am not aware of any priority for that. I know that the testing priority, I would say, is that I understand is A, healthcare workers and first responders. After that is those who have symptoms, whether they're an essential business or not an essential business. But if you have symptoms, there will be a testing priority. And then I think that's it. If you don't have symptoms, you're not in. Now, you have someone who has symptoms, we can get to you the testing sites that we are aware of for those who have symptoms, and we'll make sure we get that, make that available to you.
That would be great.
On the issue about the rebates, what I said is that basically the Internal Revenue will work to deliver rebates quickly in the form of advance of payment. Matter of fact, the Secretary of Treasury just spoke about that yesterday. And for people who file a federal income tax return in 2018 or 2019, payment process will be based on the payment. And it will come down to the payment is $1,200 for each adult individual or $24 for joint of filers and $500 per qualifying child under the age of 17. That is the parameters that is for the rebate program. In addition, advance payment rebate is reduced by $5 for every 100 income to extend the taxpayer's income. So the bottom line is that this will happen. They want to have it happen. We hope to pass we'll pass the bill tomorrow. President has signed it Saturday or Sunday. They're trying to turn this around in 2 or 3 weeks. Is what they're trying to turn that around. So that's what they're looking at. And then on unemployment, as I said, on unemployment, they're looking at it extending it like 4 months and with $600 on top of what a person would normally receive in terms of unemployment. And there was a question asked me earlier that I'm still looking for an answer. I'm going to get it around Social Security. I think, I don't want to put out misinformation, I think there's something happening. But when Senator Haywood gets that information, we would double check that.
On the call, thank you for your question, Congressman. Thank you for that answer. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. Let's go to Mitch. Mitch, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. First, I have a question, then I have an offering. So I'm going to start with my question. For small business owners, which I am one, I had read different accounts about a moratorium on rental payments due April 1st. Similarly, those of us that are homeowners and have mortgage payments due on April 1st, can you speak to whether there's a moratorium there or what you're aware of the current status is? And then I'll like to get to my offering after you answer those questions.
There was discussion, and I don't have the exact language in front of me. I think there was a forbearance around mortgage. I know that under small business, utility costs, rent, and all could be dealt with under the Small Business Administration as a part of your loan. But I'm going to stress that part. Even though I use the word loan, they will really be grants if you keep your workforce at a certain level, and it depends. But if you check the website for the small business, you can check, get a sense of that. My understanding, the state has also come down with an initiative, and I think the city of Philadelphia has an initiative. You need to just check the website. But if I didn't give you anything accurate, what I'd like for you to do is pass your name and information across to the senator. We will follow up on that.
Great. And, sorry for interrupting you.
Just in terms of locally, the Supreme Court has temporarily stopped evictions and foreclosures. Now, evictions, that's way down the line, having missed several payments, and foreclosure actually also very far down the line. So there's no moratorium in terms of paying rent. There's no moratorium in terms of paying the mortgage. But don't pay, you're not going to be evicted. And if you don't pay, you're not going to be foreclosed. Now, that's for the period that we're under. And it may be extended 60 or 90 days. But eventually, the moratorium on evictions and foreclosures is going to end. And when if people haven't paid, then the evictions can go forward and the foreclosure can go forward. Mm-hmm. Now, we are looking at some kind of forbearance programs for people. But I do want to be clear. There is no moratorium on paying rent, and there's no moratorium on paying the mortgage. It's just on the eviction and foreclosure.
Got it. Now, I wanted to do my last point, I'll jump off, relates to the call that was on prior to me, and also, Senator Haywood, to a comment you made. I do have a small business, and we are in the educational field, and I am offering our services, some of our service, free, and some of my counsel free to your listeners and to your folks out there in the communities. And some of our services are still billable, and they're educational in nature. You referenced Khan Academy, which is a huge company that works closely with the College Board in Princeton, offering services for SAT preparation. I'm a small local business. It's been around for over 40 years. If you want me to stay on the line, I'll talk with your person. Happy to give you my information, and you can reach out to your guests and your constituents with my services.
That's good. Now, Mitch, what you have is all online, right?
No, right now it is, but traditionally it's sitting down with students and working with students, but right now it's all via Zoom and Skype and FaceTime, so that's how we're set up at the moment since we're not meeting, we're respecting the social distancing guidelines.
Good. Thanks so much. Yeah, we'll get your information.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mitch, thank you very much for your call. Senator, let's go back to the callers. We're going to go to Jay. Jay, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Yeah, hi. I worked in New York in film and TV production, and I found out earlier this week that a month ago on a show I worked on, someone actually came down with fairly recently the virus. So I'm wondering, should I get tested? I mean, I've felt fine, but I don't know, you know, if it's seasonal allergies or such, you know, because the you know a lot of similar things. Just curious what the best course of action would be. I mean, I'm.
So if you're a young, reasonably healthy person and this exposure happened over a month ago, if I heard you correctly, it's probably a non-issue. You may have been exposed, you may have had it, you may not have. You know, like you said, you may have allergies. But if those allergies progress to fever, cough, diarrhea, then it's a different story, and then maybe it wasn't allergies. So just keep a close eye on your symptoms. But you're out of the window right now.
Okay. Well. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Jay, good news. Good news. Jay, thank you very much for your call. Senator, let's go to Pearl. Pearl, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Hi, Senator Haywood. Thank you very much. And I have a question for Dr. Goldstein. I would like to know. I know that the distances is because someone could cough out the droplets and they could hit you. But first of all, how long, say for example, you're walking past someone and they've already coughed, how long does those droplets live?
It depends on the type of surface that they land on. They don't live in the air very long. They're heavier than the air, so they drop. They can live on surfaces for a couple of hours, and that's why, you know, it's imperative that you wash your hands very frequently, regardless of how familiar you are with your surroundings. So they don't live in the air. It's kind of whatever they land on. So just be cognizant of that and make sure you wash your hands for at least 20 seconds.
Right. What about money now? Because there was an issue about using your cards or using paper money. Do they live longer on money, on paper money or silver money, or how does that work?
So just like any surface, it can live on money, not for a very long time. So I would not be too concerned, but if you do handle money, make sure you sanitize after or you're able to wash your hands.
Pearl, thank you very much for your question. Senator, let's go back to the callers. Let's go to Harriet. Harriet, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Thank you very much. My question is this. You said that the distribution of the money is based on people who filed taxes in 2018 and in 2019. But there are people who haven't filed taxes, and I mean legitimately have not filed taxes. Has any provision been made either on the national level or on the state level for those people who did not file taxes in either one of those years? Or are they just left out in the cold?
I don't want to say that. It's, again, another question I need to follow up on. I don't have an answer for that particular question. If you get that information, we'll find out.
Thank you.
And I do want to say also, the state is not distributing any money. The state's not distributing these checks. So just to be clear about that.
Harriet, thank you very much for your question. Senator, let's go to Deborah. Deborah, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Yeah. Well, I think you answered the question that I was asking. I was asking about the symptoms, and one gentleman was talking about his symptoms, and you said it could be allergies also, because I was having the same kind of problems, you know, sneezing, coughing, and runny nose and stuff like that. So From what you're saying is more so like an extension of the flu, or it could be allergies, and we're pretty well not safe. Well, we're okay for not getting it.
Well, Like I said, those symptoms are more consistent with not having COVID-19. There can be other viral illnesses that present similar to that. But, you know, if you are elderly or over 65, these are things not to take lightly. And if you've never had allergies your whole life and all of a sudden this year you do, that's something you should call your physician about.
For your call, to Rich, go ahead, Senator Haywood.
Taking the call.
Rich, go ahead.
And Haywood. For doing this. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So this is regarding the tax deadline, first, both for federal and state. I know that it's been moved, but is that both for payment and also for filing for both federal and state? And the other question is, what about Philadelphia business taxes, net profits, business privilege, school tax? Have they been moved for both filing and payment as well?
I don't know about the Philly tax change. We'll definitely have to get back to you on that. In terms of the state, it is a combination for filing and payment. Filing and payment have been moved to July 15th.
Okay.
The same,
but
thing with the, same thing with the federal. I can't tell you about the city, state, and federal.
How would I find out about the Philadelphia taxes then?
We will get back to you. This is what happens. All the questions that we're not able to answer on the call, we will get answered by staff, and we will either have a staff person call, we'll usually call you or send you an email if we have an email address. We will let you know in the next, we usually get back to people in about a week or 10 days.
Yeah, Rich, just stay in the line and you can leave a message, specific message for Senator Haywood, Congressman Evans, or the doctor, and we'll be able to get that information to you. Senator, let's go back to the callers. We're going to go to Carol. Carol, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Okay, my name is, you just said my name, but I had a trip planned for Germany, and the final payment for the tour was in May, but they have since closed down and closed the tour down, all tours down. So I was wondering, am I to wait till May to find out if I'm going to get my money returned to me, or what is the priority? You know, what am I supposed to do about that situation?
Well, I tell you, I would call tomorrow to check on your money, because you're not going to be able to make the trip. And you do some kind of refund, I hope. You know, I don't really know the terms of the trip deal, but I wouldn't wait for anybody. I call tomorrow and see when you're going to get a refund, and I would stay after them until you do.
Carol, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're actually coming down the home stretch here in terms of our time, so I was wondering if you had some concluding remarks for those that have joined us and for your special guests.
First of all, this has been a tremendous call. Over 23 callers have called in, and we've been able to respond. This is the most callers I've been able to have questions and answers in the years that we've been doing this. I have a special thanks to Congressman Dwight Evans and Dr. Scott Goldstein. This has been a great discussion. We've been able to hear and respond to each of the challenges that people are facing. Now, if you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171, or you can visit my website at senatorhaywood.com, again, thank you, Congressman Evans and Dr. Goldstein, for providing the insight and answers. And Congressman Evans, I don't know if you know that it was Jeremiah White who asked us that question. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Thank you, Senator. Again, I wanted to reiterate Senator's contact information. It's his office number is 215-242-8171. And Senator Haywood's website is senatorhaywood.com. Again, if you didn't have an opportunity to ask your question, just remain in the line. You'll be able to leave a voicemail. You've been a wonderful audience, and enjoy the rest of your evening.